Today is Freedom Sunday, and it is a Sunday that is observed around the globe, and it's about setting the captives free. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, was set the captives free. How many of you here know that? That Jesus is the captive freer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today, we are going to continue in worship. Our entire service, when we come to New Vision, is about worship. We worship through song and giving. We worship through the word. We worship through response. And we do that through open hearts. And this morning, we are privileged to have the director of the Set Free Movement from Oregon here to share with us today about being set free and about what it means to experience Freedom Sunday with open hearts. I'd like to introduce Pastor Kelly Grace to you.
Thank you. Oh, it's good to be back with you again. I was here. Hi. I was here a couple months back with you, and it was wonderful. And you know what happened after the service? Just have to mention this. We went to that coffee shop, as one would do when one comes here. And then one of you paid for our lunch very anonymously. It was wonderful. Yeah, and I got to see in action outside the walls of the church what this church is like. And it was beautiful, and it was authentic, and it was real, and I was so blessed. I want to also a little plug for the financial piece. I took that course with my husband many years ago. It was fantastic. You don't even have to agree with everything that Dave Ramsey says, but how crippling it can be to feel like you're captive to debt or a budget. And financial peace, it gives a framework to find freedom through money and through, you know, just how we have to live and give and serve. And so it's wonderful. I hope that there's an opportunity for you to take that course and have God speak to you through it, and that it's another source of freedom. Freedom Sunday is being, as Carlene said, it's being celebrated all across Free Methodist churches because it's part of our roots being founded on the ancient paths of freedom, right? It's being celebrated across the nation and across the globe. We'll talk about some projects that are happening in other countries under Set Free. And it's across denominations. It's not just Free Methodist. It's really part, well, it's part of all that is sacred, but it's a part of the Wesleyan holiness tradition, a little church history here, that this is a branch of just some of the faithfulness in the kingdom of God, the Salvation Army, the Wesleyans, they're coming together on the anchors of we are set free in Christ, and we want to bring freedom to others. So one of the biggest, there were three pillars in Free Methodism that we were founded on. Freedom for slaves. We did not believe in slavery of any kind. And it's part of the reason why we broke away, because we did not want people to feel enslaved or to be part of a system of enslavement. We wanted freedom in the pews. People in churches were having to pay for their seats, and it started to create a hierarchy. Right, created power dynamics that were not okay, and it was keeping people from feeling connected to God. And so we said freedom for that. And then it was freedom for women. Yes, yes, and it speaks really, it was a microcosm of we want everyone who has been marginalized or looked down upon or set apart to know that we are all equal and given gifts by God, that this is ordained by the Holy Spirit, that each one of us is given things to speak back into the world, and that there is no glass ceiling, that there is no barrier because of our genders or our race or our finances or any of those things. So that's what we come to celebrate with, is this history, is this scope, and we are raising that banner again. Freedom Sunday is worshiping in the direction of justice and freedom and healing. It's a time to remember the plight of those who are unjustly burdened. We will go over some of what, you know, our world looks like, because we have to be in touch with reality, don't we? We do have to know some of the brokenness and the darkness so that we know how to bring the light. But it's also a time to develop creative plans, plans for action and advocacy and solidarity. We are equipped to make a difference, and we are empowered to go and do that, certainly by the Holy Spirit, but also by trainings and by the way that we gather and by prioritizing things like Freedom Sunday and financial peace groups. And it's a way to network and resource and be inspired to change what happens for the future. That as we learn about what's happening, we also know that this is not what has to continue to happen in our world. We get to participate in what it looks like to move forward with a new future. Now, today's message is part of the sermon series that you've been going through too, right? The Art of Giving. And today is about open hearts, which is really so perfect for Freedom Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about why we need a Freedom Sunday. What is the situation that is going on in our world today? So depending on the different estimates, which continue to rise, but the Global Slavery Index, the Polaris Project, Shared Hope International, they're coming up with some staggering numbers of where we might have up to 45 million people who are caught in slavery today. I don't even know how to measure that number. What is 45 million in the U.S.? Is that the country of, like, Colombia? You know, like, what? Is that Japan? You know, like, how many people are we talking about? It's hard to get our heads around a number that huge. But it's a global problem. And for us to make it personal in a local way is what we're going to be after. About $150 billion is annually made off of the buying and selling of humans. It's a very dark and lucrative and secretive trade, or so we think. We're going to talk about how slavery rises to the surface and how, unfortunately, it's very easy to contribute to without even knowing about it. And that's because through the buying of products made through slave labor, those products, they end up in our cupboards, in our kitchens, in our closets, without us even realizing. Because in some countries and areas of the world, it's become so commonplace. And when we don't ask questions about how our products are made, or what does fair trade look like, or what does the right economic conditions for the workers involve, so often we're trying to be good stewards of our own money, and so we're trying to go after the cheapest thing. And sometimes that comes at a far greater cost. So these are the kinds of things that maybe we could start looking into for ourselves. Or what would it look like for us to take a day to make it a little bit more personal? Slavery takes the form of sex slavery and labor slavery. And so it's kind of this double-sided coin that we can look into. And in the U.S., there might be as many as 300,000 minor sex slaves. So that's children under 18 who are being used in exploitative purposes, unfortunately, in sexualized ways. Some things that we can do to make it more personal, we can go find out what our slavery footprint is. And this is a little tool online that you could go to. I think it's slaveryfootprint.com. And it sort of asks you about your lifestyle and different products that you may have inside your home. And it's a little bit alarming because at the end, it sort of gives you kind of where you fall on that spectrum. It's helpful information. Because a lot of times we think, well, if I'm not looking at certain things on the internet, or if I'm not, you know, maybe engaged in such a way that I'm contributing to trafficking, then I'm not really part of it. So this helps give a context of, like, maybe we are a part of it. Even our interstate 5, right? So close to us. This is a superhighway to traffickers, to trading the commodity of human lives for profit, both in the labor industry and through sexual exploitation. So we're not that far from it, but it can be hard to see it if we don't know what we're looking for. In my neighborhood, so I live close to a place known as 82nd Avenue, which has connotations of being just a very dark, it has a dark side to it. And so it's known for prostitution and drug abuse and drug sales. And you name it, you can find it happening off of 82nd Avenue. But this Friday night, we had 82 guests who identify as women come to Rahab Sisters. And Rahab Sisters, I may have spoken about it before here, but it's an ecumenical nonprofit that provides outreach with a home-cooked meal, personal hygiene items, most of all, conversation and connection. It's a place just for dignity, really. These women are currently experiencing exploitation or have at one time. So they're trying to even recover from the aftermath of what it did in their lives. Many of them are without homes. Many of them are fighting off the intensity of their pain through substance use. Many of them are living with the impact of abuse and trauma. They come to find a place where for a moment in time, they can release the weight of their off their chest that's making it hard for them to breathe. They simply come in to find an opening of friendship and of freedom. The burdens that press against the vulnerable, the marginalized, the shamed, the poor, and the discriminated against are not simply inconveniences. This is the world that we live in. This is the world that we are co-creating and that we have a part in. These are our neighbors. In the kingdom of God, we're describing our family here and our friends, right? Have we made ourselves their friend? Do we see them as a part of us? We'd have to look into that situation too, wouldn't we? Freedom Sunday is about what's going on in our world and what we have to do with it. And so the first point that we recognize in our response is my worship to God involves participating in acts of justice. Well, why? Why? My worship to God involves participating in acts of justice. Why? Because this sense of justice, this sense of bringing wholeness and healing and restoration, this is the heartbeat of the church. This is why we gather, this is why we worship, to find this connection in the one who has done all of this. It's what Jesus came here to do, how he honored God when he lived among us, and what he asked us to do, and what he continues to ask us to do in following him. We'll get to more of that. My worship, you know this, my worship is how I live out honoring God. It's how I do church, but it's also how I do work and play and rest and parenting and grandparenting and retirement and how I spend free time. It's how I interact with others, all those who are beloved by God. All of life is sacred and can be this means of grace. I want to share with you a story. We'll call her Heidi. And Heidi is a woman who attends Rahab Sisters. And we were asking for feedback from some of the guests who come, what their experience is like coming to Rahab Sisters, to be just in this open space. We don't call it church, but for many of them, that's what they call it. They say, I'm going to church. That's what it feels like for me. And Heidi wrote down what her experience was, and I want to read you a little bit of it. I was just thinking how much this place and you women have done for me. I never realized how dead I used to feel, and it's like you've put life back into me. I really just can't even tell you what you mean to me when you deal with, and in the presence of little ears, I can't say some of the things that she's written down, but some of the experiences that she has as she goes about her life Saturday through Thursday. Some of the interactions and the engagements and the wounds that are created for her. You become cold and bitter, and you just wish you were dead. You make me feel like a human being, like I belong somewhere, like I matter. And I look forward to Friday night now instead of dreading it. It took me 5 months of coming here before I realized I matter. And I was not sure, but all of a sudden, I couldn't work the streets anymore. And I'm not for sale. I believe it was you and these women who've done that for me. I'm working on getting off drugs, but it's one battle at a time. And that easy money was so easy to get. But no longer, not for the price of my soul. So like I said, there's no explaining what you've done for me, and I'm forever grateful. Being with you, I realize I matter and I'm not for sale. This is the kind of space that we get to create. Just being present to one another, to restore the dignity that God has given every one of us, to feel release from having to be caught in a system that uses us in order to survive. My worship to God involves participating in acts of justice. And participation involves connections and relationships with those doing or in need of justice. How we gather, with whom we gather, and why we gather matters. This is a church formed around something meaningful and specific. You're committed to come here around these sacred beliefs, but you're also committed to coming here to be together. This church has been through a lot. This is a church that is pressing into the mission of God faithfully. This is a church with resilience and endurance. I know some of this story here. And this is a church with open doors and open hands and open hearts. Some other groups, they gather around different purposes, some of which foster the fruit of the Spirit, some of which foster hate, fear, bitterness, cynicism. As we gather today for Freedom Sunday, we'll pray for those groups too, that they find freedom as well. But think about the other ways that you may gather with others in your life. A small group, your family, colleagues, teammates, when you go and have meetings, when you go on dates, how you connect with people over social media. Can you recognize the places that you are feeling freedom? Where you feel free to be yourself, or where freedom is being offered to others? Can you recognize the places where you aren't bringing an open heart? And is there anything that we can do about that? Is there anything that you can do to change that so freedom can be part of those places? The second point for us to simmer with today is being my authentic self requires and releases an open heart. Not only does being authentic kind of require you to have an openness and an open heart, because that's how we give off who we are, but the very act of being authentic releases an open heart. And when we're ourselves, we experience freedom and peace. We can act out of the best of our heart because it's open and it's okay. Church, we do not need people hiding. We do not need people hiding their experience or their hurt, hiding their questions and their doubts, hiding their truth or their voice. hiding their differences or their dreams or their demons or their heart. We do not want people hiding their heart. But until we do what it takes to be a safe place, people will hide these very real aspects. Part of the brokenness in our world makes it so difficult to address because it's all gone underground. It's all gone into hiding. And we will know we're a safe place when among us we find people who have all of this stuff going on and can bring it into the light and have a safe place to feel accepted and to find their freedom and to find that truth. We'll know we're safe when people are authentic, when people are confronting fears and they're confessing and they're forgiving, when people are finding openings to freedom with connection and love from our community. I know that there are moments and memories that you have of that happening in church, that this is what goes on in here. And I'm sure all of us have memories and moments when we feel like there have been places in our life where we weren't able to do that, and how unfreeing that feels. And it's hard to do something good or to give out of who you are when you're closed off and shut down and feeling like you can't be you. So we want to break that. Katie Bergman is the director of communications for the Set Free Movement. She lives in Canada, so she speaks with an accent. And I was just talking with her, and she wrote a book called When Justice Just Is. She found her, in this book, it's a great read, but it's also quite sobering. She's traveled around the globe with several organizations with the quest to change the world. She writes about the humbling journey of when her idealism for humanitarianism ran her into burnout and then into despair because she found no place to openly talk about the disappointments and the mistakes and the frustrations and the heartbreak and the reality checks that come with doing social justice. And it took her into a dark place where she didn't recognize herself anymore. She found herself hard and guarded and just stuck. And there's so much more depth to her story and what even became needed just to help her make it through to the next morning every day. But she then walks the reader back through the arduous journey of getting her heart to open up again and face both the world and the work of justice and herself on new, authentic terms. In fact, it was writing the book, putting the experience down on paper, that was, in a sense, therapeutic for her and created some openings in her heart where then she was able to publish it and send it out into the world. She's doing very well now. She's going to come and visit here in Portland for the first time next month. Ms. Freedom Fighter with an honest pen and an open heart. She's found her freedom too. And it's so necessary, especially when, like, our heart beats to bring freedom for others, too. We need it for ourselves. When Jesus came to do his work on earth, this is how he described what he was to be up to. It's from Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You've heard this before. You know this. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the message repeated over and over again. We hear hints of it throughout the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah is speaking this out into the world as to the one who will be the freer is coming to do this. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, it's the same verses that he speaks when telling people what he's about. He wasn't defending himself or his actions. He knew who he was and what he was about. He then asks, "So, who's in with me? If you're about me, be about my business. I'm doing this to show you God's heart, to show you the experience of freedom and how you work for it. And I'll be giving you the Holy Spirit to always be with you through it. Now in Luke 4, Jesus isn't talking to the elite here. All you who have it all together, go and do this. He's talking to the poor and the prisoners and the oppressed and the blind. He's talking to the disciples and the ones who will ultimately reject him. He's talking to the religious leaders who are not about this. And he's talking to the sinners who are catching wind of hope. He's saying, just so we're all clear, this is what I've come to do. And so this is the message for us to have for our heart, that we can be set free to go and set others free. It's the message for us to share too, isn't it? This both and, for me and for you. Our final point involves an experience of this relationship and the receptivity that happens here. In the kingdom of God, giving help, hope, and healing sometimes means receiving help, hope, and healing. Sometimes we just want to be the giver, though. It's not really a bad thing, but there can be like a dark side to it, just a little bit. It does make us feel good to be a giver. That's not a bad thing. It might also make us feel useful and stable and secure and superior. We want to be perceived as the fixer, the one with the answers, the rescuer. And we may want or even expect or even feel entitled to being appreciated for our efforts of giving. Now, if we felt that way, I think that would probably make us human. Maybe it can get the better of us, though sometimes too. But then sometimes in giving, we realize we're not the only one who's graciously giving something. We see others' gifts and contributions and the impact that they make on us. We see what being able to graciously receive also does for our life and in our hearts. Are we open to the work that is being done with us? That exchange of giving and receiving. There is perhaps some of that work for our own heart to do. This movement, this rhythm, just healthy and humbling. We want to bring freedom to everyone, to ourselves too. There are places in you that have meaningful things to give to the world. Your story, your presence, your money, your perspective, your passion, all of these elements in our life, like all of that has meaningful work to give. But there are places, perhaps in you and in me, that could also use some help and hope and healing too. Will we let those places open up? This past week, I do feel like I lived out this point physically. In a way, it's a little bit embarrassing, but this is confessional, you know. I did something ridiculous to my back. I don't even know, but one morning I woke up and I was just messed up. I was really locked up. It was difficult to stand. My coworkers were like concerned about me, and I just looked all twisted up and hurt. And I tried a lot of remedies on my own. You've probably had a hurt back before. Heating, icing, Epsom salts, exercise, you know, and then I got a little deeper into it. Now I'm doing medicine and, you know, just trying to figure it out and just very locked up and could not move. And so I went to a professional who helped open up that part of my back just to get me moving again. And at first, you know, I felt rather vulnerable and a little foolish. But then comfortable and ultimately grateful and so thankful. She did her work on me and I left feeling more me. and not just physically. I was able to leave with this, not being so broken down and discouraged, but with hope and with some healing that had happened. And there's a lot of professionals out there who can help us do the work of getting unstuck. Sometimes we need to invest in that a little bit. We all have things to offer each other that we need and that we need to receive too. And that way, we're back moving in the direction of freedom. We are part of a movement towards justice, to finding release and freedom. This is the design of the new Set Free t-shirts. And when I look at it, I think of action and celebration. It's like a confetti of arrows. Like, go! So let me share with you about three of the Set Free projects that are happening kind of around the world. And these are local communities who have decided, I get this and I want to be a part of setting people free. We will find freedom to do this in our community where there's brokenness. And so you have little bulletins on your chairs, and these describe some of the three projects. But in Haiti, the Free Methodist has a group called ICCM, which is International Childcare Ministries. So they work with kids. They're kind of like Compassion First or World Vision, sponsor children. They have a strong presence in Haiti with schools and churches supporting families and children. Now, the families there, when a child is sponsored or even adopted, it's not necessarily because they're orphans or they don't have a family. It's because the parents cannot afford and cannot protect the well-being of their children. And that's heartbreaking. This year, ICCM in Haiti is working on a comprehensive training program to address child slavery. So when we have vulnerable children who can't get into sponsorships or adoptions, or then who's going to take them in? There are people with very messy, nasty agendas waiting to do that. And so they're working to address child slavery because the children end up being, who are most vulnerable, end up working as domestic servants. And so they're insulated inside homes and nobody knows they're there. They're caught. In the Philippines, the local Set Free leadership there, who is native to the Philippines, they recognize the need for intensive trauma-informed training. So their goals are to work on prevention, intervention, and aftercare with sexually trafficked children in their areas. That's the biggest need when they did their survey. They found very, very young children who were being sexually exploited. And they want to commandeer that system and that pattern. The brokenness is pretty deep there, and also is the hope. Here in Seattle, so the team there has recognized a correlation that many trafficked survivors had previous time in foster care. They're not saying foster care caused trafficking. I want to make that clear. They just noticed that those who had been trafficked also in their past had spent time in foster care. So they decided to radically support the foster care system. Children, foster parents, actual caseworkers. And they're getting ready to host a conference. They piloted it last year. And they're going to do it to nurture positive self-identity, healthy attachment, and these kids will have role models in which they can continue to build relationships with. So it's an infusion of hope and freedom and dignity. So maybe they will also see that I matter and I have a contribution and I wasn't just given up on or given away. You may be asking, well, what about here? What about here in Oregon, in Beaverton? What can I do? Let's talk about what you're already doing. This is a church that has been partnering with St. Child, right? This home that serves young women and their children and gives them a place to open up and find freedom. You are practicing with each other Every Sunday and every time you meet in action groups, every time you gather around a table together, you're practicing these connections that are dignifying and uplifting, where you're honoring each other's presence and contributions and offerings and being. And that matters. For someone to be a witness as to what you've gone through and what you could be. That's a witness for truth and for healing and for freedom. You're having services like this one, Freedom Sunday, that get the message out, that rallies the church. It empowers us to live out that freedom and to set others free. So let's take a look at a very short video for more ideas and more inspiration. And then when we come back, we're going to end with a collective prayer together. You do in the direction of freedom. I don't think my job is to tell you what to do. I think our role is to listen to God's heart for us, to guide us into where we're feeling led to bring freedom in our spheres of influence. So let us together pray. For worship does not end and begin with us. It begins with God, moves to us, then launches us outward. Amen. Amen. Hear these words. O most holy and merciful God, you secure justice for the poor and uphold the cause of the needy. As your people, freed from bondage to sin and delivered from death, we cry out to you. We pray for the tens and millions of men, women, and children enslaved in forced labor all around the world. O Lord, free and deliver them. We pray for the oppressed in the Philippines, for those forced to work against their will in factories, fisheries, and fields, for the thousands of boys and girls exploited and abused in the commercial sex industry. O Lord, free and deliver them. We pray for the people of Haiti, especially the thousands of children from poor or rural families who are given and sold as domestic servants. O Lord, free and deliver them. We pray for the perpetrators and exploiters, for governments blind to justice, for corporations consuming slave labor in the worship of profit, and for groups that are meeting in ways that do not exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. O Lord, restrain and transform them. We pray for ourselves, for repentance of our sins, of indifference, resignation, for wisdom in how and where we spend our money, for the conviction and courage to speak out against injustice. O Lord, forgive and reform us. And we pray for the church, for an awakening from our complacency and our complicity with evil, for the protection and success of those acting in your name for justice. O Lord, guide us and empower us all. Be with us, free us, and give us great courage. Amen.